Another bank is saved.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The banking landscape is changing minute by minute. This morning, government regulators announced that Citigroup is buying Wachovia. Wachovia didn't fail, as Washington Mutual did last week, but Wachovia was heading for disaster. The FDIC stepped in and brokered this deal without seizing the bank, as it did in WaMu's case. Wachovia shares are getting shredded. They're down 90% in the first few minutes of trading. Now on to the bailout. As you probably know, congressional leaders in the White House reached a compromise over the weekend. The House is debating it as we speak and may vote today. The Senate will vote later in the week. It's still a $700 billion package, but some things have changed. We're joined by our correspondent in Washington, John Dimsdale, as Marketplace continues its coverage of the financial crisis. John, tell us about the trade-offs that were made to get this deal done.
Yeah, to allow the members to go home and say on their campaign trail that I held out for the best deal possible to protect taxpayers, there are new things in there. For example, the money is going to be doled out in installments, not all at once. There are extra layers of oversight that would rein in Treasury's power. There's this new option for banks. It's an insurance program. It could limit taxpayer liability. And the plan now gives the government the ability to go back to the banks, the ones who benefit from the bailout, 5 years from now, and hit them up with fees to make taxpayers whole. So the Republicans got a final prod from President Bush this morning. He came out and spoke to reporters about how this plan will jumpstart the flow of credit.
Every member of Congress and every American should keep in mind, a vote for this bill is a vote to prevent economic damage to you and your community.
All right, John, but I'm still hearing rumblings of dissatisfaction about this bill. What kind of misgivings do people on Capitol Hill still have?
The primary one is concern that this $700 billion won't be enough. What if we spend it all and there's still a credit freeze? And that's a gamble that the Treasury Secretary and the congressional leaders who are backing the plan are taking. Remember, these politicians go before voters in a little over a month, and the public out there is really skeptical about the plan. So this is going to be a tough vote for anybody on the right or the left. The moderates are holding, but it's a question of who on the fringes will vote for this.
All right, John Dimsdale in Washington, thank you.
Thank you.
There were two other bailouts announced today. The British government nationalized one of its mortgage lenders, and three European governments combined to rescue a bank called Fortis. Everywhere, stocks are down. So far, the Dow is off by 236 points, more than 2%, 10,906. The NASDAQ is down 64, and the S&P 500 is down almost 3%, 32 points. The European markets are down 3% so far, and the markets in Asia close lower as well.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Now we're joined by Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Alan, this bill is supposed to boost the stock markets. What evidence do we have that it will?
None whatsoever. Starting in the summer of 2007, the Fed and the Treasury have done any number of things that were designed to reassure the financial markets. And at last count, the special Fed lending programs had put into the world something over $400 billion, and the system was still messed up. So I wonder if another several hundred billion dollars going in would really make that much difference.
All right, let's talk about the public's psychology here. Do you think that this has forever changed people's relationship with Wall Street, with their retirement security and all of that?
Well, forever is not a word that really does well in America. I would say this has to have eroded people's confidence in Wall Street, confidence in the markets, confidence in the banks, confidence in their ability to somehow save for their own retirement when the best and brightest on Wall Street are on their hands and knees begging the government for help.
Does this change your thinking about investing for your future?
No. I've known for a long time that I'm pretty much on my own, and I've been extremely careful. My money market funds had no problems. My stocks have gotten whacked, but, you know, I didn't own any of these bizarre financial things. I didn't speculate on housing. I didn't take out more of a mortgage than I can afford to invest in the stock market. I'm going to continue to be prudent to the point of being boringly conservative.
Well, that sounds like a good strategy right now. All right, Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thank you.
You're welcome, Scott.
This is the Morning Report for Monday, September 29th on Marketplace.org. There's still a lot of questions about whether this bailout plan is going to work, whether it'll help the housing market, the credit markets, the stock markets. As I mentioned, stocks are down everywhere this morning. We're joined by our man in London, Stephen Beard, to talk about what investors are saying at this point. Stephen, what's the main question they're asking?
Is the Paulson plan really going to address the fact there is still so much fear in the banking system? The banks are just not prepared to lend to each other for fear that they might end up lending to a bank which goes bust a few days later. This morning, the interbank interest rate, the rate at which banks borrow and lend money to each other, is higher than it was last week.
Jeez.
So that's worrying investors.
And there are also some problems with banks in Europe as well. There are a couple of situations going on there. Tell us about those.
Yes, we've had two bank nationalizations, no less. In continental Europe, the governments of Belgium, the Netherlands and Luxembourg have clubbed together and put up more than $15 billion to buy a 49% stake of the huge and troubled Fortis banking group. And here in Britain, the UK government has nationalized a big mortgage lender, Bradford & Bingley.
Excuse me, Stephen, I thought the British government wasn't going to bail out anybody.
Well, that's what they said last week. They said, we're not going down the American route. But that appears to be what we've got. We do appear to be having a bailout by the back door with a little less fanfare than the U.S.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Citigroup's purchase of Wachovia further consolidates the banking industry. We now have a big three in banking, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Citigroup. But that doesn't mean small banks won't have an opportunity here. Danielle Carson explains.
Contrary to the overheated language surrounding Wall Street's problems, it's not all gloom and doom for most of the country's 9,000 financial institutions. In fact, business is booming for many smaller banks.
They make good business judgments about risk, and that's why they're still there and doing okay for the most part.
William Dunkelberg is chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. He says deposits are flowing in as customers pull their money out of riskier investments and deposit the funds into community banks. Peter Fitzgerald is chair of Chainbridge Bancorp in McLean, Virginia.
We're very liquid and are in a very strong capital position, and the banks that did not lend out all their deposits should be holding up very well.
Call it Banking 101. Make sure you have enough money before you make a loan. In Washington, I'm Danielle Carson for Marketplace.
The new version of the bailout plan does impose some restrictions on executive pay and golden parachutes. But considering what's happened in the financial industry, you have to ask, why do bank CEOs deserve to get any money? I now present the Marketplace players.
Got a venerable financial institution? Need it destroyed? Then you need Banking CEO. Banking CEO comes with everything you need to bring even the most reputable firm to ruin.
Like hubris?
Yes, ma'am. He'll borrow as much as $30 for every one the business has on hand.
How about a total lack of fiscal transparency?
You betcha. Even he won't fully understand what the company's invested in.
But does he have a chronic inability to manage financial risk?
In spades. And the more you spend on Banking CEO, the more he can buy himself fabulous accessories, like a giant political lobbying machine and a yacht made of diamonds.
Diamonds?
No, I made that up. But isn't it incredible that you believed me for even a second?
Sure is. What'll Banking CEO cost?
Just a multi-million dollar severance package once the firm is driven into the ground.
Count me in. How do I buy?
Are you a taxpayer?
Sure am.
Then you may already have
Rico Galliano wrote our ad and performed it with Eve Tro. The Dow is down another 100 points, so that's 337 in the first half hour. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for tuning in.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.